Now we move on to our Africa update. Zimbabwean opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai for now says no to forming a unity government instead of having a runoff in the country's presidential election. Plus, in Somalia, a truce between insurgents and the government could be in jeopardy. Plus, we've got a look at how Africans are reacting to Barack Obama's run for the White House. For more, we've got Amira Wood. She is co-director of Foreign Policy and Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. Hey, Amira.
Hey, Farai. Great to be with you.
Always. So let's talk about Zimbabwe. Morgan Tsvangirai leads the opposition party, the Movement for Democratic Change. Some people think he already won the presidency, but at the very least, there will be room for a runoff. But there's been a long delay in setting up this runoff against President Robert Mugabe and his party. Now, in a press conference today, Tsvangirai dispelled rumors that he and Mugabe's party are discussing a unity government. Do you think that that's even on the table, even if it's kind of below the table?
Well, I think Morgan Tsvangirai has said it best. He thinks the Movement for Democratic Change is convinced that they actually won outright the March presidential elections. And clearly, the Zimbabwe Election Commission did not agree. They had set up this runoff for June 27th. And Morgan Tsvangirai is saying, in spite of the intimidation, in spite of a climate of impunity, that he is going forward, that the Movement for Democratic Change will continue with this process. And so, yes, there is this commitment to go forward with a runoff, in spite of the fact that, you know, thousands of people around the country are reported to have been intimidated, harassed, and the numbers of people killed are just escalating daily. I mean, today, Morgan Tsvangirai put the number at, I guess, 60, but I think that number has been escalating. Clearly, there is high degree of intimidation politically and violence going on throughout Zimbabwe.
Tsvangirai also said Zimbabwe is being run by a, quote, military junta. And that's a term you sometimes hear when it comes to Myanmar, also known as Burma. Generally not a very friendly term. What do you think? Is that accurate?
Completely accurate. When you see what's going on, there's intimidation, both of the police and of the army and of these former war veterans here of Zimbabwe. So you have people, particularly supporters of Movement for Democratic Change and other opposition groups. You have labor leaders. You have human rights activists. You have clergy in many instances that are being targeted, you know, and there's this saying going on that, you know, bullets are being made available, one for each person who's a supporter of the opposition. This is clearly a climate of intimidation that is very much like a military junta would do.
Do we know anything about President Mugabe? That is, do we know who he's keeping counsel with? Do we know anything about from his past behavior, what his next move might be?
Well, that's so difficult to say, Farai. Clearly, the key thing for Mugabe seems to be maintaining his grip on power. It's 28 years, and he wants to extend that even further. What has been discussed is, you know, an exit strategy for Mugabe. What would be needed? Would there be some kind of an agreement that he wouldn't be brought up on human rights violations with an international criminal court or other such international venue? You know, so could there be an agreement or a deal made along those lines that would give him an exit strategy? There have been discussions both quietly and publicly about those types of possibilities, but it is so difficult to say. I think really the key thing that's been made clear here by Mugabe and ZANU-PF is their commitment to maintain their tight grip on power.
Let's take a quick look at two other issues. First is Somalia. There was a bloody battle in Mogadishu, and the government and some anti-government factions agreed to a 90-day truce. But now one of the leaders of a rebel Islamic group is rejecting a UN-sponsored peace deal. Give us a little sense of what's going on.
Well, we have to remember Somalia has been in a difficult position for the last 17 years. There have been, I think, about 14 peace deals being made over that time period. But what has happened in the last year and a half really is a systematic campaign where U.S. airstrikes and Ethiopian ground forces have essentially tried to enforce democracy in Somalia. And you have many within Somalia said, no, you cannot. Just as you cannot impose democracy with bombs in Iraq, you cannot impose democracy with bombs and an Ethiopian occupation of Somalia now. So I think there is tremendous resistance to the so-called peace efforts that have been made that are really interpreted by Somalis as occupation and have been rejected. So what has happened is there's been pressure, particularly from moderate forces within Somalia, to try to see, can there be a Somali-grown, a homegrown resolution to this crisis, a resolution that will maintain the dignity and also the political sovereignty of Somalis so that they choose their future, they choose their leaders, not the U.S. in particular or other outside forces, but Somalis themselves choosing their leaders and holding those leaders accountable. So there have been numerous attempts over the past few months. This one is a U.N. brokered effort. It doesn't seem as if it is very likely to hold because one of the key factions, the Union of Islamic Courts, which held power for just a 6-month period, but maintained power, unity and respect from many Somalis, they in their senior leadership have not endorsed this agreement. I think many other Somalis are saying, well, an agreement that has a clear, exit strategy for the Ethiopians. This agreement has a 120-day time period after which the Ethiopian troops must leave. And Somalis are thinking that that's a step in the right direction, but it will be still to be seen if there will be broader support and if this agreement will continue to hold.
All right, Amira, we were going to try to squeeze in Barack Obama, but I'm sure he's got plenty of time on the clock. Thanks a lot.
Hopefully long after November.
Amira Woods is co-director of Foreign Policy and Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies, and she joined us from our NPR studios in Washington, D.C.